When did making plans get this complicated? It's time to streamline with WhatsApp, the secure messaging app that brings the whole group together. Use polls to settle dinner plans, send event invites and pin messages so no one forgets mom's 60th, and never miss a meme or milestone, all protected with end-to-end encryption. It's time for WhatsApp. Message privately with everyone. Learn more at whatsapp.com.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then add the final touch with two for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part, our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Manning pivots to throw.
Intercepted by Ohio State.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The whole arch thing, let's just pump the brakes here.
Earlier on the show, comedian Bill Burr, Academy Award winner Spike Lee. Still to come, ESPN College Game Day analyst Desmond Howard, actor Dylan O'Brien. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. Disney Plus, ESPN app everywhere for those who want to look at us. And I appreciate you looking at us because we're handsome. 844-204-RICH, number to dial, whether you're watching us, streaming us, or listening to us on Sirius XM channel 80, or on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have us on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Already had Spike Lee, already had Bill Burr in studio. Just had a nice chat in our green room with Dylan O'Brien, who's a diehard Jet fan. He's going to come out here shortly in advance of his theaters nationwide this very Friday film called Twinless. And that has nothing to do with the Jets offensive line that has suffered a major injury, apparently, because that's what happens to the Jets in a practice with Elijah Vera Tucker mere days before opening the season against the Pittsburgh Steelers. But we'll talk about that with Dylan O'Brien. As you know, I say this every single time, this man makes me smile. Very few people have made me as happy in life as Desmond Howard. And the fact that we're now one big happy Disney family means Desmond has to be on this show right away. And it's great to see you, Desmond Howard. Hey. How are you?
Oh, Rich, I tell you, you make me smile. You make me happy, man. And it's great to be on your show. And welcome back, my friend. Welcome back.
Right. Thank you, sir, for that. And it's a pleasure and an honor. Well, what is it like to be an Ohio native who went to the University of Michigan and is now showing up and showing out on College Game Day in a time where there has been, wait a minute, one, two, three, is it? Four wins in a row against Ohio State, and all the Buckeye fans, they love you, man. Buckeye fans love you, Desmond Howard. They think you should be on TV talking football all the time. How does it feel to be you? Is basically what I'm saying. Desmond.
You know, we like to say in Ann Arbor, it's great to be a Michigan Wolverine. It's great.
It is.
A Michigan Wolverine. That's how I feel about being me. It's great to be me. Those fans there, hey, they do what they do. They do what they're supposed to do because of the success that I had when I was in Ann Arbor against the Buckeyes. Mm-hmm. And they have long memories.
Plus, you also say the truth, and if I'm not mistaken, you were the only one on the panel in North Carolina at the Belichick Palooza to say TCU is going to win this football game, and boy, did they ever. What challenges does North Carolina football face despite having one of the greatest coaches to ever put on a headset? Like, what did you see in person that might give an idea of where do we go from here with Bill Belichick's
Yeah, I tell you what, you know, they have to get tougher in the trenches. We can start there. I was talking to some TCU coaches on the sideline, and they thought that they had a distinct advantage in the trenches. They thought they would be able to control the line of scrimmage both offensively and defensively, which is what they did. And Josh Hoover, their quarterback.
He's good. He's good.
Really good.
Yeah.
Exactly. He's probably the number two quarterback in the Big 12, only second to Sam Levitt of Arizona State. So, yeah, he's really good. And I think so physicality, you know, first and foremost, they've got to become a little more physical, a little tougher up front. Gio Lopez, the quarterback, he just seemed very limited as a passer after that first drive. And what I think happened, Rich, is most coaches, they especially like these offensive coordinators, when they're breaking in a new quarterback, a new system, they like to script the first 12 to 15 plays, and they drill the hell out of those plays, especially game week. And I think that's what we saw with that first drive with UNC. I mean, they just sliced through that TCU defense like a hot knife through butter, and they looked like a well-oiled machine. But then after that, they hit a wall. And I think that's when TCU just started to buckle down a little bit, toughen up front. And at the same time, you put North Carolina in a situation offensively where now you have to really call the game as opposed to just going by the script that you started the game with.
Now, I think, again, if North Carolina continues to struggle, and the same thing with, say, Alabama, those two are kind of being viewed, in my estimation, as the canary in the coal mine about 21st century college football, that it doesn't matter if you've got an all-time great coach in North Carolina or a program that Forrest Gump used to play for and Nick Saban used to coach. That doesn't matter, right? It just doesn't matter anymore if kids show up. It's about the money on the table and, of course, facilities and opportunity to make the NFL, which I know, again, Belichick would definitely be somebody that you'd want to play for in that regard. But I'm just wondering what you think about that philosophy, or at least that mindset, that this is, in fact, an idea of where this sport is going in the 21st century. Desmond.
Yeah, I mean, it's changing. Like, we're watching it in real time change right in front of our eyes. It's amazing, too, because we never thought we would see the day where these kids would not only make money, but make the type of money that they're starting to make, which is, insane. And coaches, too, though. I mean, I just don't talk about the players. I think that these coaches' salaries are starting to become astronomical to the point, Rich, where you can't even fire a coach because his buyout is so much. I mean, what type of business model is that? How's that? So I think we're going through a period that it seems unsustainable. Like, I just don't think these numbers are sustainable for a long period of time. But you look at these players, and they're, like you said, they're chasing the bag. They're chasing the money. I do think that because of Bill Belichick's MO and who he is as a person, who not only can he spot untapped potential in players, but he also can extract all of that talent out of guys. He does a really good job developing players too. So, they got their nose bloodied in the first one, but his MO is developing players and getting the most out of them. And I still do have a lot of confidence and faith that he'll be able to do that. It's just not going to be the flip the switch, change things overnight job that people anticipated because he came to Chapel Hill with 6 Super Bowl rings. It's not that easy. It may take 2 or 3 years for him to get the program to where he wants it to be. So they're going to have to be patient.
Desmond Howard here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's talk about Arch Manning. Your opinion of his start at the Shoe is what?
It was predictable. I went on Stephen A. Smith's show the Friday before the Ohio State game. And I went on First Take, and I was telling them that I thought that the all of the hype and Heisman talk around him was unwarranted. I said that unless he was a guy who was on stage last year at the Heisman ceremony as a legitimate finalist, he doesn't warrant having his name mentioned in the same breath as that trophy. If you think he's somewhat a quarterback who's going to have a successful career, why don't you start talking about the Davey O'Brien Award or the Johnny Unitas Award, you know, whatever those quarterback awards, but not the best football player in the country. And I also said that he was a guy who he didn't jump out at me on tape. I mean, he had moments, and they're going to show those big moments on SportsCenter. But if you really watch the tape, you know, there was nothing consistent that made you think he was the best football player in college football. And now he goes to Columbus, right, Rich? This is the beautiful part about all of this. People don't want to really criticize him as harshly because he is a Manning. And they want to stay in good favor with the Mannings, right? This is a big name in our sport. But so what they do is they make it seem like Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator for Ohio State, just called this brilliant game that kept Steve Sarkisian and Arch Manning off balance for four whole quarters. Now, Matt Patricia did call a very good game. There's no doubt about that. But I saw guys on SportsCenter and other shows pulling like three plays and showing how he may have confused Arch Manning with the look or a secondary switch at the last minute. And I'm watching the film and I can show you 10 to 12 plays where guys were running wide open and he either just didn't hit them with the ball or he didn't see these guys, and it wasn't that complex or that complicated. So he struggled the way I thought he would struggle because, you know, even though he's been in the system for 3 years, you look at him, he's never really played in these meaningful games. So the hype was just blown way out of proportion for Arch Manning.
Man, what an opinion right there, Desmond. So what do you see for Arch going forward, an upward progression, starts to win some games. There's a big game against Florida, Georgia coming. Like that's go to the college football playoffs. And is that what you see here moving forward? Maybe not at the podium in Manhattan.
Rich, we know one thing. Okay. We know one thing, me and you, we know one thing. In order to go in Columbus and beat Ohio State, first and foremost, you have to be tough. That's what it takes to beat Ohio State. You're going to have to be tough. When they got the ball in the red zone inside the 5-yard line and they couldn't punch it in, and I can't put that on Arch, that showed me that at that point, they're not tough enough to go on the road and beat a team the quality of Ohio State. Now, moving forward, you said what's going to happen. Any analyst who talks about Arch Manning, they always wraps it up with, yeah, but he's going to be fine. He's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But in this sport, with that name, being fine just doesn't cut it. Being okay just doesn't cut it. That's not what they're known for. That's not what he's in Texas for, to be fine, to be okay. So I do think, obviously, like all these other teams, it's their first game. Will they get better as a team? Of course they will. They should. But you knew you were playing Ohio State the first game of the season. Ohio State knocked you out of college football playoff a year ago. You would think that you would be better or more prepared for this game than any game going to the season simply because of those factors. So it was kind of disappointing, really, to see such a lackluster performance from them. And I think that what you'll see now, Rich, is that they'll go up against inferior opponents, opponents who don't have the roster that they have, and Archer put up some numbers. He has some nice throws. He has some incredible runs, and then people will be, you know, saying how great he is again. But they may struggle in the SEC going up against some of these tough teams if he doesn't get it together soon.
Desmond Howard, Heisman Trophy winner, Super Bowl MVP, College Game Day, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Most impressive win from last weekend then? Miami, LSU, Ohio State? What do you have? Am I missing anybody?
You're missing Florida State, my friend.
Florida State beating Alabama. Okay.
Ooh-wee, yeah. And what made that one so impressive, Rich, is because, hey, we knew that Tommy Castellanos, the quarterback who transferred from Boston College, he came out and said Nick Saban ain't there to save them. I mean, that's just bulletin board material. And then he doubled down and didn't back off of it and said, listen, My coaches, my players, we all believe in each other and we know what we have here. I'm going to tell you what people forget, Rich, is forget. They forget that, first of all, Mike Norvell, despite what happened a year ago, 2-10, I get it. Mike Norvell is a hell of a coach. He can coach football. And then he brought in Gus Malzahn. Gus Malzahn, he's a great, great offensive coordinator. Like, he can call plays with the best of them. And Tommy Castellanos has said that Malzahn is a guy who now just seems like he has, like, all this weight off of his shoulders, and he's out there having fun. He's in his bag. He's enjoying being an offensive play caller. And so that was one of the great, the biggest factors to me in that game Saturday. In that game, that game Sunday when they beat Alabama, because you saw Gus Malzahn, he was in his bag, and those kids, the defense too, defense flying around. That was a very, very impressive victory.
Yeah, it'll be a shock when people try to put Alabama in over Florida State in a few months. Anyway, you know, we'll see how that we'll see how that works, Dez. I got two more for you. I got two more for you. One for me, and then one for the rest of the United States, or one for us. Bryce Underwood, man, some of those throws that were coming out of his hand. I said I've never seen a quarterback play for Michigan with an arm like that. You played with Elvis. Right. Obviously, Chad Henne had quite the arm. I've never seen anything like this. And the moment for me where I knew this was different was a 3rd and 14. Michigan had coughed up a 17-point lead. It's now just 7, 2+ minutes before half. And they don't just hand it off and say, we'll play defense and hope for the best. They let the kid rip it. And it was a 39-yard gain that wound up with a touchdown drive. And I'm like, I turn to my 14-year-old son, who my watching buddy Cooper. I'm like, all right, this is not normal. This is different. And I'm wondering what you think, Desmond.
I agree with you. I had my watch buddies with me, big twin and little twin. We were actually there on the sideline watching the game.
Okay.
And we thought the same exact thing. And I said, wow, it's refreshing to see that they have that type of confidence in that young man in his first collegiate game, that they're not going to just have him turn to his right or turn to his left and hand the ball off. Like, they let him go out there and play football, make some throws, make some big throws too. And so it was nice to see. And I mean, he's very, very talented quarterback, but he's just a guy who I believe has that it factor. His teammates, they all love him. You know, he seemed very poised, and he ran things at a very efficient level. He never came across as though he was flustered out there or anything like that. He seemed like he was kind of like a seasoned vet, which you have to give credit to the coaching staff. I mean, especially the offensive coaching staff, because they consistently put him in a position to succeed, and they made sure that he was comfortable, and they helped to I think, like, make sure his confidence was starting to build as the game progressed. And that's what you want to do with these young quarterbacks. You want to start them off slow, but make sure you're putting in plays that can help build their confidence as the game progresses.
Yeah, I can't go slow, though, Saturday, though. I mean, that's the game of the week. It's on ESPN Saturday night, Michigan at Oklahoma. What's your opinion on that, Dez?
Yeah, that one's going to be it's going to be a good one. I'm excited about that, to see how this defense responds to Mateer, the quarterback, the transfer from Washington State, who's now in Norman, Oklahoma. Mateer is probably the number one dual threat quarterback in the portal this past offseason. So he brings a lot to their offense. And obviously Brent Venables, you know, he's a defensive minded coach. So he's really going to try to get in the head of Bryce Underwood and this offense and see how he can affect the offense. I think that Michigan's going to have to be stout in the trenches. They're going to have to be able to move the ball with the running game, and they're going to have to keep those guys off of Bryce Underwood. And so it should be a really interesting game. I'm excited about it.
Me too. Last one for you, Desmond. Normally when 90-year-olds trend on social media, it's not for being alive. And, you know, boy, is Lee Corso alive and well and awesome, and what a weekend it was, trending 100,000 people in Columbus. What a moment to have the famed Ohio State marching band with a spelling out Corso while Lee was putting on the headgear. People going nuts, the country crying at the same time. It was incredible. I'm getting goosebumps just even thinking about it. What was it like being there, Desmond? What was that
I'm
like?
I'm getting goosebumps as you describe it, my friend. It was surreal. It was very heartwarming. It was a blessing just to be a part of the celebration of someone who we all, you know, we love and we admire so much because he's given so much of himself to the sport and to the fans. So it was a fitting tribute, celebration to a man who I believe belongs on the Mount Rushmore of influential people in the sport of football. I mean, I put him up there with John Madden, Keith Jackson, and then you can pick a fourth guy. But to me, that's where Corso belongs because of the influence and the impact he's had on the sport of football. And I'm not just talking about college, but football, period. He belongs up there with the Giants. There's no doubt about that. And he's a guy who's taught me so much, not only, you know, on camera, but off camera, too. I love that old man, man. Hey, wrap him up in bubble wrap and protect him at all costs. He's a national treasure.
He is, you know, perfectly put. And you got to reach out to him, help if you need with your picks. Not like you needed it on Monday night with TCU, but he went 6-for-6 in his final day on game day. Six for six. You know, and it was pretty cool, man. Desmond, you're awesome. Good to see you. Appreciate the time. Let's do this as often as you're willing right here on Disney Plus, ESPN, and ESPN Radio. And go blue, sir. Good to see you.
Go blue, my man. Thanks for having me.
Right back at you. That's Desmond Howard right here on this program. Love that guy. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Get renter's insurance to protect the things that make your place a home, including coverage for theft or damage. Visit progressive.com. Let's take a break. And we come back. Dylan O'Brien will be out of the green room and back here on our set. Jets win-loss game beckons.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. Checking off the boxes on your to-do list is a great feeling. And when it comes to checking off coverage, a State Farm agent can help you choose an option that's right for you. Whether you prefer talking in person, on the phone, or using the award-winning app, it's nice knowing you have help finding coverage that best fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by Amazon. Sometimes the most painful part of getting sick is the getting better part. Waiting on hold for an appointment, sitting in crowded waiting rooms, standing in line at the pharmacy, that's painful. Amazon One Medical and Amazon Pharmacy remove those painful parts of getting better with things like 24/7 virtual visits and prescriptions delivered to your door. Thanks to Amazon Pharmacy and Amazon One Medical, healthcare just got less painful.
The Jack Welch Management Institute at Strayer University helps you go from, I know the way, to I've arrived with our top 10 ranked online MBA. Gain skills you can learn today and apply tomorrow. Get ready to go from make it happen to made it happen and keep striving. Visit strayer.edu/Jack Welch MBA to learn more. Strayer University is certified to operate in Virginia by CHEV and has many campuses, including at 2121 15th Street North in Arlington, Virginia.
Back on ESPN Radio here.
This is true.
Presented by Progressive Insurance. Dylan O'Brien is here. We just showed a clip of Twinless that's in theaters nationwide this Friday, September 5th.
Yeah.
And again, so this is about twins who have lost a sibling.
Yeah.
And then everything kind of goes a little bit haywire when they've met.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah. These two guys meet in a bereavement support group for twins who have lost their twin.
I had no idea such a thing existed.
It really does exist. Yeah. And they're called Twinless Support Groups. It's okay. Where the title came from. But yeah, the story, you know, it's about grief. It's about loneliness, you know, loss, friendship. There's so many things, but it's a dark comedy. So it doesn't sound as, it's not as grim as I'm making it sound.
Sure. Right.
And, yeah, I mean, it's a really special film. So Everybody, please, you know, tell everyone you can.
Okay.
And go Friday.
Everybody go there. So if it's a dark comedy, then screw it. I'll just say it. That's where Tiki goes because he's not in the Hall of Fame and Rondé is. Is there a support group for that?
That is hilarious.
That's low.
Is that wrong?
It's pretty funny.
No, you can do
pretty
it.
Clever.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Dylan can't.
Yeah.
Because again, if we're talking dark comedy, I just didn't know if there's a support group for that.
Pretty good. It's pretty good. Dom DiMaggio goes there.
Oh, well, were they twins though? With Dom and
were they not twins? Or are they just brothers?
They're just brothers who play baseball.
All right,
Ozzy and Jose Canseco.
There you go.
Are they twins?
They're twins.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought about the twin athletes.
Yeah, there's not many of them.
I mean, not twins, but Dan McGuire. Where does he go?
See, but what?
Oh, twins, the relief pit, the pitchers.
Mean,
Mark's brother.
Siblings,
yes. Siblings who weren't as good as the other one.
You know, yeah. So
this is the sequel.
Dan McGuire.
Yeah.
This is our sequel. McGuire. Right? This is the sequel.
This is absurd.
You know?
We could keep going.
No, but
Gerald Wilkins?
Are you Googling this?
No, this is off the top of my head.
That's
Gerald
insane.
Dominique's brother?
Yeah.
Don Swayze and Patrick Swayze?
Yeah. Frank Stallone, famously.
Yeah. Dennis and Randy Quaid? Yeah, let's keep going. Yeah. All right.
Roger Clinton.
Let's not get Dylan in trouble here. Dylan's showing up to promote his movie, Twinless, which is in theaters near you on Friday.
Okay, you guys are doing it for me. It's great.
Is this the best promotion your movie's ever had?
This should be a good hit for us.
Let's talk about
it. I did see the trailer on Sunday. I went and saw a movie. Yeah. And one of the trailers was
yours. Where did it play in front of?
Where did it play in front of?
Caught Stealing.
Cool.
Yeah, and it was just you watch the trailer and it started to make me think, you know, twins have that twin telepathy, that thing.
Sure.
You have, like, people say your heart beating on the outside. So I thought it was very interesting to, you know, have someone lose that other half and how they go on with life. So
no,
it looks interesting.
Yeah, it's an incredibly unique experience on this earth and an incredibly unique type of loss. So much is sewn into your identity in a twin relationship. So, yeah, I mean, that's sort of the impetus to the film and kind of what struck our writer-director, James Sweeney, who initially wrote this 10 years ago. This was a long, long time in the making. So,
I appreciate you, man. Was that James in the clip with you?
Yes.
Right there?
Yes, he's also in the film with me. Yeah, okay. He wrote it, he directed it, he's in it with me. Yeah.
What's it like acting with a director? Acting with you.
It can be funny. You can just sometimes kind of see them just staring at you during your coverage and you're like, he wants to give me a note. And then it's also, you know,
wow,
you fight a little bit too. Like sometimes you get a little testy, like I'll throw him a note, you know, just cause it's your actor, your counterpart, you know what I mean? Yeah. Your partner in the scene. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden he's like, could you, maybe try that. And you're just like, you try this. How about that? I got some notes on you. No, it's really great. I mean, it's like, this was a really special one. So I'm excited to put it out. And let's get into gangrene.
I was about to say, that sounds, what you just
I'm like,
described,
we're running low on time.
No, it's okay. What you just described did sound like Aaron Rodgers' relationship with Robert Saleh.
There you go.
You know what I mean? Like giving notes. You know
there
what I mean?
You,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
he wants to give me a note.
Maybe at a place.
To give me a note.
Right.
You know?
Can we talk? What? Okay. I've got a couple things that I need to ask you.
Dylan O'Brien, you have the floor.
You're my way into.
Okay.
I feel like you're the most insider that I can talk to.
Okay. I'm here for you.
What is. Like, we have the Saleh regime come in, right? Yeah. A few years ago.
Yeah.
Out of San Fran.
Yeah.
DC for San Fran. All sounds good, right?
Yes.
I'm always kind of. I'm such a Jets fan in the sense that I'm always excited and I'm always like, okay, encouraging development. Maybe this is the regime, right? Maybe this is the coaching staff.
Sure.
On the way out the door and Aaron Glenn comes in, we all of a sudden find out there's finally accountability, you know, guys are showing up on time. And I'm just like, what are you talking about?
I don't.
How has that been going on for 3 years?
Let's start with this way. Okay. When you miss on a quarterback drafted as high as Zach Wilson
100%,
was drafted.
100%.
It reels for a long time.
Yeah.
Unless you're lucky enough to be, say, the San Francisco 49ers and draft as Mr. Irrelevant somebody like Brock Purdy.
Yeah, yeah.
All right? So the Jets miss on Zach.
Yep.
And the coaching staff has to deal with that.
Yeah.
And they stick with him as long as they possibly can until they realize this just isn't working out. Aaron Rodgers is available. Let's go there.
Yeah.
Rodgers comes in. and the most Jets thing happens. He carries the flag. Five snaps later, it's all over. Mm-hmm. And that's after the whole Hard Knocks and everything. And it's clear that they've handed everything off to Aaron Rodgers to say, show us the way.
And you they had to give him the keys at that point.
Now, at that point in time, you're like, why can't the coach show you the way? And I think Saleh was doing so.
Right.
But on the offensive side of the ball, when the defense was so far ahead of the offensive side of the ball, and it's like, let's hand things off to Rodgers on that front, and then his Achilles goes, and then the kid that you just clearly had already made the point of is not the guy
moving
anymore
from.
Suddenly becomes the guy again.
Yep.
Everybody looks bad. Like, no one looks good. So I don't know if there is now more accountability than there wasn't, and it potentially wasn't that much accountability because there was an interim head coach from week five on, which never happens in the NFL.
Sure.
So I don't know what to make of that. All I know, Dylan, since you know you haven't asked this, I might follow up, is that they made the right bets. Aaron Glenn, you get some guy who used to play there. They drafted. He was from the Parcells era. Let's go. He's a guy who's paid his dues. He's clearly shown what he can do.
Yes.
Great move right there.
Yes.
Who are you going to have play quarterback? It's not Rodgers anymore. You're not going to take Russ because he's now free. I'm serious. You weren't going to do that. You weren't going to do that. All right. I'm being point blank. Matthew Stafford wasn't moving east for the Giants. He wasn't doing it for the Jets.
Yeah.
Okay. What are you going to do? You're going to try and trade for Kirk Cousins and go there and hope for the best with another old fella?
Yeah.
Off an Achilles injury?
No.
Or are you going to go Justin Fields? It's a smart move.
I don't mind what we've done with Fields.
You're going to get a new GM and you look at your Young Turks who are your offensive rookies of the year and defensive rookie of the year and say, you're paid.
Yep.
Pay Let's the guy. Go to work. So they've made the right.
Yeah.
They've
two first round linemen in a row.
You make some good bets and then you go to work.
Yeah.
And I think that's what they've done.
Are we going to throw the ball at all?
I don't know. The question is who else is there other than Garrett Wilson that's going to come to the fore? Because everyone knows it's going to be him.
Yeah.
And then what are you going to do with the run game?
Tight ends.
And then, of course,
Mason
Elijah Vera Tucker going down, you know, days before.
Yeah, what's the arm injury?
I have no idea.
There's no reports. It's just a New York Times article that he could be out for the season morning.
Diana Russini reported from The Athletic that it could be season ending.
Oh, here we go, Schefter.
Torn tricep. Could be season ending. And it's just like,
killer.
That happened in practice just 4 days before?
Killer.
Oh, okay.
It's the most Jets thing ever.
It's just he wasn't carrying a flag in front of the whole country on Monday Night Football, it's something similar to it. It's just like zero snaps this
year.
How
poetic to open up against Pittsburgh.
That's one way to put it. Poetic.
And I have my concerns, and maybe we can get into this on the win-loss thing.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't feel good about that opening game. Those games never go our way. You know what I mean?
Why are you a Jet fan in New York City? Because you're either Giant or Jet, right? Or you grew up in Manhattan,
right? It comes from my dad. My dad's side of the family is, you know, Long Island, Mets, Jets. So I've always been Mets, Jets. And I mean, I genuinely have an affection towards them from when I was a kid. So it's you know, they're my guys.
Who was your favorite Jet growing up?
Of all time?
Yes, sir. Who is it? What do you got? Say it.
I was a big Jericho Cotchery fan. I'm not even. I knew you were going to crack up.
No, because you laughed.
Yeah, well, because I was like, I always used to, when I was like a teenager, I used to be like, Cotchery. But that's what we Jets fans sound like, you know? You're shouting some guy no one's ever heard of, and I always had like the most hope for. It's embarrassing.
So is Malachi Corley that guy in the 21st century?
Oh, my God.
Matt Corley.
What was that miss?
I don't know, brother.
Also such a horrible,
He might.
The fumble just, and then that was it.
We'll see.
But was he really not? I mean, this guy was supposed to be Debo, right? The next, you know, Yak King, Debo Samuel. So stoked. Third round last year. He's gone?
How about this?
It blows my mind. I get so psyched. I make these guys, you know, I'm mad and I develop them great, you know. I bring the franchise to it, you know. And Malachi Corley's like, you know, I'm signing to a big deal like in 2027,
you know what I mean?
And then it doesn't happen.
Dude, you never know in the National Football. It really is because about what Justin Fields is going to do. And can he take this opportunity?
He's going to
run. Well, let's see. Him and Bryce, Breece Hall, and obviously
Brent Breece. What is going on with Breece? Why? What is the Like, why is it so
murky?
Like yeah, what's the murky lore?
I think the murky is that, you know, this is potentially a walk year.
Sure.
And they paid everybody. Okay. Yeah. You know, yeah. And they Sauce. Haven't paid him, and then yeah. it's and they're making him sort of, I guess, at this point, show it, prove yeah. it. And I think, you know, we'll see.
They're and, talking about the efficiency metrics and, you know, Braylon. I mean, but Braylon's a beast, but he's the slow. He's Brees has still got the juice, right?
I think so. And we will see it.
Yeah,
we will absolutely okay. see it.
I mean, the talk couldn't be more down. So,
no, I hear you. This
I'm excited.
Well, here, let's get you Justin Fields pumped up. This is Fields on playing against his former team in week one. Roll
whoa,
it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Okay.
I mean, yeah, the storyline's yeah. crazy. I mean, yeah. that's why the NFL set us up for week one, just for that. But I mean, yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Cool to, you know, kind of see that. And, you know, it's going to be fun, you know, going up against these guys on Sunday. So it's ball for me. So I'll let you guys kind of handle the storylines, the news lines and stuff like that. And in the locker room, we just keep it straight ball. So
keep okay. it straight ball, okay. man.
I like that.
If he balls out and he's becomes,
I mean, I would this love it.
This is it. He can do it. Why can't he?
Against A-Rod, he
why can't he?
Aaron just deserves that.
I can personally
so
attest
bad.
That 2019, he and Garrett Wilson were a nightmare. For me, as a Michigan Wolverine fan.
Yeah.
They were as good as they come, man.
I mean, listen, I was feel, you know, the year, I mean, he came out with Wilson the same year, right, with Zach? And I was, it was, you know, a year later, I was going, could you imagine if we had that guy? So it's amazing. I mean, listen, he's so talented. The
now
legs.
You got
let's
him.
Just see. Let's see.
Are
let's
you
see
ready?
How it goes.
Are you ready?
What are we? What do you want to do?
It's time.
Yeah. Actually, wait. Can I pull out my notes real quick because oh, I want to? My
oh,
notes app.
Notes?
It's not like I took notes on this. I just want to like record it and see how I did at
okay.
the end of the
you got
year.
It. I got you. You're the first one to play the win loss game for the New York Jets, Dylan O'Brien.
Whoa. Yeah. Why? Because why would anyone?
Twinless. Good point. In theaters near you.
I'm glad that got a chuckle.
This Friday, September 5th. The Notes app is open. The win-loss game. Give him the music from just down the turnpike
yeah.
at NFL Films. Here we go. What happens when the Pittsburgh Steelers stroll in on Sunday, sir?
All right. Now, as much as I want to give us the W here because mm-hmm. I just know how it goes for the Jets in these situations.
Oh, no.
It's Aaron. I can already see that grin on his face at the end. Boy. You know what I mean? Like, I just feel like we, in terms of the, under the banner of we can't have nice things.
Yes.
We, no one deserves this loss more than this guy, and we're not going to hand it to him.
0-1.
I'm going to start there. I know.
Would
I know. Listen,
problem.
I got it. I'm a Jets man.
No, 0-1 would be a problem because the Bills stroll in the next.
I know. No. I'm starting 0-2.
Okay.
For you. I know.
Then what happens there in Tampa?
Okay. So then now we occasionally have these sort of, you know, so we're in Tampa. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. At Todd Bowles.
Yeah. I have us penciled in for a surprise W.
Okay,
here.
We go.
Like
we're
this
back.
Is this
wow.
is the point in the
back.
Season where all of a sudden
we're oh, back.
All
we're
of a sudden back. Like all of a sudden we get confused that like we're just like we just beat the Bucks. You know what I mean?
At Miami.
This is how it goes,
on a Monday night. Now you're on a
first
road.
2 weeks we're like, you know, of course we lose to Aaron, of course we, you know, get hammered by the Bills, and then we're just like, okay, actually wait, maybe we got a team here. Because the biggest thing about a Jets fan is your optimism can turn so quickly. You
I
know
feel
what
like
I mean?
I should charge you by the hour right now.
What?
Like, do you want a couch? You want to lie down? This is great. So what happens on Monday night
I'll
at Miami?
I'll speed it up.
No. What happens at Monday night in Miami?
Monday night in Miami. I mean, they ripped us. Didn't they rip us last year multiple times? Let's just go. I think we got to even it up. So I got to.
2-2.
Let's go 2-2.
Home for the Cowboys.
I have us beating the Cowboys.
There you go.
Come on.
Now we're in
even
London.
Though, even though they're obviously better now that they traded Micah, according to Jerry Jones, right?
Yes. Listen,
on paper.
He wants to stop the run.
Yeah, of course.
It's now 3-2. Three wins in a row going into London to take on the Broncos. I'm calling this game on
Broncos
NFL Network,
London. You're
way.
Calling the game?
I am doing. Yeah.
You're calling it. That's a good omen. Let's give us.
I don't know. I called last year's Jets loss to the Vikings, sir, so don't look at me.
I gotta.
And then Saleh got fired.
I know. I gotta give us the L here.
Okay, 3-3, home for the Panthers.
We gotta beat the Panthers.
4-3 at the Bengals.
This is a loss for us.
4-4 out of the bye, home for the Browns.
Gotta beat the Browns.
5-4 at the Patriots.
In New
on
England.
Thursday night football.
Yeah, I'm really curious to see how New England's gonna look. I mean, that's that arrow could be straight up. Since we're in New England, I got to give us two L's in a row here for New England and Baltimore.
Okay, 5-5, then 5-6, home for the Falcons.
Wait, I'm screwing this up.
It's okay. Just say it. What do you got?
We're going to surprise beat the Falcons.
6-6, home for the Dolphins.
Miami, God, I would love to beat Miami twice. Is it going to happen?
Do it.
I think at this point, Miami's a mess, and we win.
7-6 at the Jaguars.
7-6. Am I insane?
Keep going. Keep going. You got it. Feel it. Do it. 7-6
Jacksonville,
at the Jaguars.
I think I have to give us two more out. Yeah. We beat Jacksonville. Beat New Orleans.
That's four wins in a row. Now you're home for the Patriots. Home for the Patriots. Do it. Home for the Patriots. Do it.
Do it.
Do it.
I took that loss in New England, so let's give us the win at home.
Yes, it's five wins in a row at the Bills. And you know the Bills are resting people. Do it.
We go to Western New York, and we take it from the Bills.
Yes, six wins in a row. 11-6 says Dylan O'Brien.
What's your chest?
Come on. How did I end up there?
Dylan, what happens in the win-loss game?
You got caught up, man.
You look back and you're like, Jets fans, you're just sitting here thinking, what's going to happen?
You're not going to be 11-6.
Six wins in a row to finish up.
Dylan looks so confused right now.
Because we talked about that. You knew the way this was going to go.
I love this look right here. This is my new meme.
Dylan, what happened?
Twinless in theaters nationwide this Friday, September 5th.
Yes.
We got a roll to break.
11-6. I'm going to get ripped to shred.
Well, you got a great movie.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I was looking for fun ways to tell you that Mint's offer of unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month is back. So I thought it would be fun if we made $15 bills. But it turns out that's very illegal. So there goes my big idea for the commercial. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Gatorade is the number one proven electrolyte blend designed to hydrate better than water. So you can lose more sweat and raise your game. Gatorade, is it in you?
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, everybody. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial on the program. You ready to do our AFC East predictions?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get to that in a second. Just want to tell you about that all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. What makes it an incredible SUV? The spacious interior that's comfy for the whole crew? Check. Capability to go off-road? Check. How about this? 600-plus miles of range. That's an absurd...
That is what I'm talking about.
Yep. ...amount of range. Driver behind the wheel, maybe? For some of us. Does it go behind the airport when you go to work?
Yes.
The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. So much more than just another SUV. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. That's 562-314-4603. Our friends at Hyundai are like, why do you mention that behind the airport thing?
I need to talk to them. I might be in
talk to
you
TJ.
Know, market you should, for a new car.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah. You talk to my Hyundai folks.
I'm not going
to
lie.
Chris Brockman, it's time to predict the AFC East. The only question is how high does he put his New England Patriots? God. You're not having them win the division over the Bills, are you? You're not going that crazy, are you?
Well, look, we all remember how Week 18 went last year. I don't know. Maybe that carries
the
over.
Joe Milton game.
Stupid ass Joe Milton game. No,
take
no,
your
no.
And buckle up.
No, thank you, Coach. I pinky wave to you. No, let's go in reverse here. I got Miami fourth. I think them and the Jets are kind of in a similar situation. Vibes are a little higher in New York. So I'm just going to put them third, Dolphins fourth, Patriots second. Love the vibes there. 9 wins, a real possibility, even though I think I predicted 10-7. I don't remember. And look, this is the Bills division until someone takes it from their hands. The Bills could be a Super Bowl team.
Yep.
And so I expect them to kind of breeze through this division and play in the championship weekend.
Championship weekend for the Bills. interesting. TJ Jefferson, you have at it.
Well, I feel bad because Dylan O'Brien was here and we all like him and he's a friend. So with all due respect to Dylan and Rich Eisen and George R. Martin and the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yep. Don't forget Greenberg.
And Greeny, of course.
Don't apologize to me. As you know, I'm not in that realm right now.
But you know,
I gotta call a Jets Broncos game and I do not care who wins or loses that game.
I just want an exciting overtime.
You know, and with 2 seconds to go, someone wins it.
Yeah, you want to be able to yell that thing in Portuguese that we don't quite know what you should. Right. But anyway, I got the Jets coming in fourth. Brockman, I'm sorry. I got the Pats third. I don't know why. I just got some weird feeling about the Dolphins. I don't know why. I can't really put
everyone feels weird
there.
About them, and they could be good. Who knows?
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, my guy Josh Allen. I say he's my guy because he gave me my first ever interview here on the Rich Eisen Show. So
okay.
I got the Bills wrapping this thing.
All right, and here's my AFC East predictions right now. As you know, when we last week I gave my top five shrug emoji teams, which is our shorthand of way of saying – teams could be really good, could be really bad. My one more on that top five list was everybody in the AFC East, not the Buffalo Bills.
That's a good one.
So in terms of a shrug emoji, Bills won, and I'm going with the same thing with you, Chris.
Oh, okay.
Although with the Dolphins not, you see they did not name Tyreek Hill a captain.
It did.
And so maybe, just maybe, that locker room is in a certain way that is ordered, or there's disorder and we only see the tip of the iceberg. I don't know. I'm just assuming at some point Tua is going to get hurt, and it's Zach Wilson's war, and I just don't know if he's going to be able to pull that off.
Mm-hmm.
The Jets, I'm going to say they're going to be better just because Aaron Glenn alone.
Yep.
And New England, Josh McDaniels being there to be the OC for Drake May, along with Vrabel at the top, I think alone makes you a much better team, and we'll just see how they've drafted and how well they put everything together. And I do see the Bills as an AFC Championship weekend team, if not beyond. Yep. And that wraps up our AFC East predictions. We'll be chatting from Brazil tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Eisen Show podcast. You can watch and listen to the Rich Eisen Show live weekdays from noon to 3 Eastern on ESPN Radio, Disney Plus, and on the ESPN app. The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.